This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rich, you mentioned in the previous segment the name Jack Easterby, who is an executive vice president with the Texans in charge of team development. He was the character coach with the New England Patriots. If you Google his name and try to find a crossword said about him anywhere, you're not going to find it.
No, and he came on board, what, in April, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes. And what's interesting is, Rich, I was reading an article earlier today that talked about how Jack Easterby came here shortly after all the news broke with Robert Kraft.
Yeah.
That was something, the Robert Kraft situation in Florida was something that really kind of soured him on the organization.
Well, he's a very conservative, devout guy. He was actually at one time the team chaplain for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right. So it would seem that the Orchids of Asia Spa, probably not on brand for Jack Easterby, I'm guessing.
No, and in a very brief, I promise, Sean, quick side note. I don't know if you saw the item over the weekend, but the AP obtained a video of an interview between the police and one of the massage therapists or masseuses who was pinched in the Orchids of Asia raid. And it's pretty fascinating stuff as they try to get her to admit that she's a victim of human trafficking, not doing this willingly. It's a fascinating little piece because she's obviously doesn't trust authorities and is worried about her bosses thinking that she ratted them out in some way.
And what the consequences,
with the suggestion being that they've got something that they're holding over her head, which is how they traffic these unfortunate women.
Okay, interesting. I got to find that. It's out there on the internet?
Yeah, because the whole human trafficking aspect of that bust, I think, was quickly dismissed by most people, and a lot of people thought it was just a trumped-up thing by the authorities there, but this interview suggests otherwise.
Interesting. Okay, we'll have to go find that. At any rate, I don't know if ironic's the right word, just strange, I guess, bizarre, that maybe a trigger event for Jack Easterby coming to Houston and having such great influence in the building over there. And again, if you go to sportsradio610.com, John Lopez has an article up that mentions that since he got here in the beginning of April, since April 2nd, it's almost like they brought him in as a consultant, Rich. I know he's a full-time employee over there. But the first order of business, it sounded like, was him doing just a complete deep dive on the organization as a whole and what changes should be made. I don't know what other changes that are less high profile than firing your general manager are being made over there. Rest assured, I'm guessing this isn't the only tweak to the organization that's being made.
Think about it, Sean. If you're Jack Easterby and he is a so-called quote-unquote character coach and his boss, Robert Kraft, gets caught red-handed at a rub-and-tug joint in South Florida on the day of the AFC Championship game, didn't his job just become a lot harder, Jack Easterby, in terms of dealing with the players and convincing them of the need for displaying high character? Because what Kraft did does not exactly suggest high character.
Probably. It certainly doesn't make your job easier.
It sends the wrong message to your organization, I think, at the very least.
Yeah, well, it probably has you feeling like you're working for somebody that doesn't completely jibe with you philosophically, if nothing else.
Yeah.
So Albert Breer was on with the guys on Mad Radio this morning, talked about Easterby's journey to Houston. We'll learn more about him here in just a second from Albert Breer, and also just some things that we've been able to discover on his background just from learning more about Jack Easterby, the Texans' executive vice president of team development.
Jack Easterby was like that guy over the football ops people, over the scouts, over the coaches, to make sure that everyone was in the position they should be in, was to make sure that the team was getting the most out of every position, but at the same time making sure that every individual person is getting the most out of themselves. Belichick set that up. So what he was doing with the players, like, Jack's role was sort of parallel to that in certain ways with the coaches and the scouts. Other guys have tried to take him out of the organization with them. Everyone inside that building saw the difference that he was making, And when anyone else got an opportunity somewhere else, they wanted to bring him with them. I think Jack was like sort of looking for, and this is my understanding of it, Jack was sort of looking to kind of take a step up, and the Patriot connections in Houston wound up, you know, getting O'Brien, the guy he wanted down there.
Yeah, McDaniels is going to bring him to Indianapolis if he had gone to take that Colts job. He's been somebody who's been highly sought after around the league. And again, if you go to the article on sportsradio610.com, it sounds like there's going to be sort of a triumvirate, you know, maybe almost a power sharing situation with O'Brien, Easterby, and whoever gets hired to be the new general manager. Nick Caserio appearing to be the front runner right now. The big topic to me, Rich, over the weekend with this thing, is I was gauging temperatures of people discussing it on social media, articles, TV, radio, things like that, is, okay, what does this mean for Bill O'Brien? What does Brian Gain being let go mean for Bill O'Brien? And the questions, it was almost like people were posing these questions as if they were completely mutually exclusive from one another. And I don't know that that's the case necessarily. And the two questions are, is O'Brien more powerful now than he was at the beginning of the day on Friday? And the other question was, is O'Brien's seat hotter now than it was at the beginning of the day on Friday? As if those two things were mutually exclusive, that somehow if he becomes more powerful, that he's more entrenched in the job.
Right.
I don't know that those things, I think those things might be able to be simultaneously true.
I do too.
If this is how Cal McNair is going to operate, if Cal McNair is going to operate with a more granular view of the organization and a greater sense of urgency than his late father did, and this, it's the only big move he's made so far as the owner of the team, but it's a big move. If that's the case, I could very well see where O'Brien, yeah, he may have more power because whoever comes in is going to be maybe even more aligned with him than Brian Gain was. But I could see where the conversation would be, okay, now you really got your guy, Bill. Now it's got to get done.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if this goes down, it's obviously got O'Brien's stamp of approval on it. And if it doesn't go well, it almost feels like he's run out of opportunities if this latest new direction for the franchise does not go well.
One more from Breer, and he talks about that. Is there more pressure on O'Brien now?
This one's on O'Brien. This was the guy O'Brien was going to realign the organization with. You know, going forward, that means he has to get this one right. It's a coach's sport now. And if you want to look at the four teams that were left in the end in 2018, Sean McVay, Sean Payton, Andy Reid, and Bill Belichick, all of those guys, this is on Bill. Like, he can't get this GM hire wrong. And so now it really is all on him. And I think he'd welcome that.
My guess is the communication's been pretty clear with Bill O'Brien about what the expectations are going forward for him. And the one thing Cal McNair did show, if you're a Texan fan, I think we can throw out the window now. Well, he's in year two of a five-year contract. Dude's paying 3.5 years worth of Brian Gain for Brian right. Gain to do nothing for the team.
Right, and Easterby really, I mean, we joke about what Matt Schaub said years ago about Texans worthy. Easterby is Texans worthy.
Yeah.
He's a guy. I mean, they've had such an emphasis on the word character throughout the history of this organization, and that's this guy's specialty, along with having a wealth of football knowledge as well. I looked at his background, Sean. He worked for Spurrier at South Carolina, missed Clowney by a year.
Okay.
So he wasn't there with Clowney. Also, personal information means nothing whatsoever except that it amuses me. He has a daughter named Houston. Houston Easterby.
Okay. Well, that
karma, baby.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, she'll be beloved in whatever school she goes to here locally. I don't know how old she is, but I did see a picture of him, his avatar on Twitter. Looks like his kids are young.
I think so.
Yeah. So
I think so. But honestly, if what John Lopez wrote on our website is exactly the way this thing is going to play out, I think most Texans fans are going to be pretty happy about the new structure of this organization.
Probably. And I think where most Texan fans, if they are pointing their angst and their maybe even anger for some Texan fans at one particular area still with the team, it's at Coach O'Brien. Because I think the question, and I think it's a valid question, I think you can make cases on both sides of it actually for O'Brien. But if you're on the side of, okay, well, how is Bill O'Brien getting more power? I mean, Albert Breer just rattled off the four coaches that made it to the conference finals last year. The conference championship yep. games last year, Sean Payton, Sean McVay, Bill Belichick, and Andy Reid, those are all guys who've been to Super Bowls. A couple of them have won Super Bowls. Bill O'Brien's won one playoff game against Connor Cook back in 2016.
Yeah.
You know, he's been 9-7 a few times. Yeah, yeah. So the people who are looking at this going, how is O'Brien getting more power in this situation? I think Breer's response to it is, this is just the direction the league is going in. If you were to bring up the counterpoint to argue O'Brien's case for getting power, Rich, I don't know if it's as strong an argument for as it is against, but I think you look at it and go, okay, well, the guy didn't have a quarterback the first 3 years here, and he went 9-7. He did pretty good in some triage situations where he's pulling quarterbacks out of deer leases and out of their, you know, off their couch to go win games. He had a bunch of injuries in year four, and the one thing he has done fairly well is coach up Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's been very productive his first 2 years in the league.
Yes, but I think it's fair to say that at this point in time, before they've actually made official the new direction in which this franchise will go, at this point in time, O'Brien's got some egg on his face. Because O'Brien went out of his way to talk about what an outstanding candidate Brian Gaine was. He was, quote, I believe, head and shoulders above all the other candidates.
That's a good point.
That they spoke with, and that he was the guy. And that, of course, the phrase we all say in our sleep every night, philosophically aligned. I mean, he went above and beyond in his praise of Brian Gaine and how perfect he was for the job. And now 17 months into that tenure, and John McClain reported this in what he wrote over the weekend, his sources told him that, quote, the relationship had eroded between Bill O'Brien and Brian Gaine. Yeah. That's a pretty short period of time to go from the over-the-top praise to the relationship has eroded. Like I said, this may be something that Bill O'Brien can recover from. I'm sitting here thinking he probably will recover from, but he's got a little egg on his face now.
Well, he's got to win games. Like, that's the thing. Like, well, you know, all the things going on behind the scenes, Rich, all the relationships, how Bill O'Brien might rub people and how people might rub Bill O'Brien the right way, the wrong way, this and that. The bottom line is, if the Texans go 11-5 or 12-4 again this year, then things are probably moving in the right direction. If they go 6-10, then it's going to be a bleep show around here.
No doubt about it.
That's what it's going to boil down to with O'Brien. Because
Deshaun takes 60 more sacks, it's not going to go well.
Yeah. So that's really what it boils down to. I mean, at the end of the day, Rich, I thought about this with respect to O'Brien and Gaine. The two were probably friendly, and the two probably had a mutually respect for one another. Maybe still do. At the end of the day, I think that the relationship between Rick Smith and Bill O'Brien might have been so dysfunctional that whoever was coming into that position was going to feel like a better fit for O'Brien than Rick Smith was.
Yeah.
The main thing Brian Gaine might have had going for him in retrospect when it came to Bill O'Brien, because Gaine was not their first choice.
True.
They asked for Caserio, and they asked for Joe Douglas. They asked for other people before they arrived at Brian Gaine.
You're right.
The main thing that Brian Gaine might ultimately have had going for him is that he wasn't Rick Smith. And then you realize a year and a half in, like, okay, we can do better than this guy's all right, but we can do better than this guy.
Yeah, since you mentioned Rick Smith real quick on the text message page, and we haven't mentioned this yet, Cal is going to be paying three GMs at the same time.
Yeah.
Rick Smith is still being paid by the Texans, obviously Brian Gaine and whoever the new guy is.
Yeah, the one thing you can't say, you can say what you want about this decision by Cal McNair, and it's his decision, right? I mean, Easterby has influence and so does O'Brien. Ultimately, Cal McNair is the person who's running the team. You can say what you want about whether you agree or disagree with firing a general manager a year and a half in. The one thing you can't say is he ain't willing to spend money. He's paying two dudes to sit at home who are doing nothing right now for this team in that general manager position. He's going to be, like you just said, paying three GMs.
You could interpret that a couple of ways, though, right?
What's that?
Well, I mean, he's willing to spend the money, but the other way to interpret it is that he's foolishly spent the money.
Yeah, that's why I prefaced it saying you can say what you want about the decision,
right?
But the willingness to cut the check, because I think there are people that just blindly say when a team doesn't go make a move that they want to. Rich, put it this way. I guarantee you there are people that think that the Texans didn't sign Trent Brown because they're cheap. Oh, why would they? Boy, they're so cheap, they wouldn't sign Trent Brown. Not knowing that in the NFL, you have to spend a certain amount of the salary cap. Even the Bengals have to spend 90% of their salary cap over a four-year period.
Right, but this offseason, Brian Gaine's inactivity fueled that narrative.
No, I get it. But my point is, my point is that it's a false narrative.
Totally.
Like, it's not because the ownership is cheap that they don't want to spend the money on free agents. So that's why I bring this up, because there are going to be people out there still that for some reason think because they don't go sign a certain guy or they don't keep a certain guy that the organization is cheap.
Right.
That's not the case. And this is a clear case that they're not they are willing to invest the resources to try to get it right.
For better or worse, it ain't true.
713-572-4610. We're going to take your phone calls if you want to get in. Let's start it off here. Let's go to the Heights and talk to Gary. Gary, you're up on the triple threat. What's happening, man?
And not much. Just wanted to talk about this Brian Gaines situation. Listen to a lot of sports radio, and after this offseason, I basically kept hearing a lot of just people basically saying that, oh, it's not that bad. We'll see what happens. And the truth of the matter is we went into the offseason with two glaring holes, left tackle and cornerback. And after the draft and after free agency, we basically still have the same questions. So in my mind, this is kind of an organizational review. Like, what did you accomplish with cap room, all your draft picks, and we have a tackle who played in the SWAC or something like that, and a guy who Denver didn't want on a one-year deal as, like, our top cornerback signing. So I think this is purely performance. When I first heard the news, I thought it was some type of Me Too situation or something. But when it came out that it wasn't, this is performance-related. Like, we still have the same question marks going into this year than we had coming out of last year.
Yeah.
And I think that's the big problem with Brian Gain.
I appreciate the phone call, Gary.
I think that is what a lot of us assume. The within the first few seconds of hearing the news on Friday that there's something going on in Brian Gain's personal life. He's embarrassed the franchise somehow.
Well, that was put to bed.
He's lost his job, but that's definitely not the case.
Cal McNair mentioned high character in the statement. I think we can put that to rest.
For sure.
That's not the case. Gary brings up an interesting point, Rich, and here's my feeling on this, is that it's never any one thing, unless it is something like that you break the law or you do something that embarrasses the organization. Unless there is an incident, then usually on stuff like this, it's not any one thing. And I'll say this, because Gary brings up, I think it was because he didn't get a tackle and he didn't get a cornerback, and that's why he was fired. Well, John McClain brings up the erosion behind the scenes of Gain with relationships in the building. I'll say this, if Brian Gain were doing the football part of this at an A-plus level, if all of his 2018 draft picks were contributing and starting, if he had been able to maybe make a big move and you come away from the draft feeling like, man, that is an A-plus draft, if he were actually able to spend that cap money and improve the roster, if you felt like he was doing the football things at the level of an A or A-plus, then it probably behooves Cal McNair to try to get Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain to work things out behind the scenes, because that would mean the guy, at least the early returns are, he's great at his job. The early returns are he was probably okay at his job, not good enough to be able to withstand whatever this erosion was behind the scenes.
Yeah, I do think that, though, the caller makes a good point, and we mentioned this very early on in the show. Look, they had a need at cornerback, and Bradley Roby and Lonnie Johnson do not make you immediately jump up and say, well, that's fixed.
Right.
They had a need at tackle, and Titus Howard and Max Sharping do not make you jump up and immediately say, well, they took care of business there. There's nothing compelling about what they did in the offseason. Doesn't mean that these solutions that Brian Gain came up with might not be the right calls. They may be as things play out. But right now, it doesn't feel like those two greatest areas of need were really that prioritized in the offseason.
I have a hard time believing that when you have a team that was 11-5 last year, that has a franchise quarterback in place who I think is going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league over the next 10 and 12 years. If he can stay on the field. When you have that kind of record, that kind of quarterback, it's not a good thing when you're sitting here on June 10th with $42 million in cap space or whatever they have.
I couldn't agree more.
Blanket. I can put my hand over the roster and say that this is not a good thing. If you have a young quarterback on a rookie deal and you were 11-5 and you got booted by a team in your division at home in the first round of the playoffs, that if you're still sitting here with $42 million in cap space, you didn't do enough. I don't care what the roster looks like. You didn't do enough.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.